Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your anointing power. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is allowing us to be drawn unto your throne room that we may receive that which you have for us. We yield today to your Spirit. We yield today to your presence. We yield today to your anointing. We ask, Lord God, that you send us a word that can help us, a word that can carve into this being, carve into the sinful nature that we are residing in, and redeem us from ourselves. In Jesus' name, the people of God say amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Take a deep breath and get yourself together. Turn my monitor down just a little bit, because I do have a word for the Lord for you. I'm beginning to understand that it's great to get to this level where we are excited and dancing and singing, but you still need to hear a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. I got two types of messages for you. If I won't catch you this morning, I'll catch you this evening. Amen. 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 So those that don't feel like it, you better come this evening, because if I don't get you this morning, I promise you I'll get you this evening. I will get you this evening. I've been studying all yesterday afternoon, preparing myself for today. Amen. Amen. There's no excuse. We got the van that's been fixed, all raring and ready to go. And so we have a driver for the van. Don't know who it is, but somebody will drive it. Sister Monica say, I got it. Amen. The devil has been at work trying to discourage every individual in here this week. Hallelujah. And you got to understand that's a blessing. That's a blessing. He don't mess with anybody that don't have power and don't have appointment and don't have anointing. Hallelujah. The devil ain't got enough time to fool with mess. He is mess. He only want to mess with those that are divinely appointed by God to be anointed to do a service for the Lord. So look at yourself and say, I'm okay. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, and I got a word. I ain't going to pull a scripture out, but I will preach in the word. Amen. Today I got something to tell to all of these folks in here that's been crippling other individuals in here. I'm going to preach to you today. I'm going to preach to you first today this morning, the mature saints that don't quite comprehend. And then I'm going to get those that's going through this afternoon. Amen. I'm coming to carve some stuff up today, y'all. I feel like preaching. I feel like teaching this morning, but I feel like preaching this evening. Listen, just look at your person next to you. Point them in the face and say, mind your business. I did it an Ebonic way, so for those that has went to school and went to college, let me do it the grammar correct way. Mind your own business. Mind your business. That's my way. Amen. I think we have it twisted on our job description concerning witnessing to people. We are so concerned about getting church folks straight and telling them of their sins that we are missing what God wants from us. Oh, I just want to play. I believe that when the scriptures start coming alive in everyone's life, the church will be a better place to go. I just think that we want this power and control over individual, or to be so holy and anointed to individuals that we have a tendency to bring them on as proteges, and so we can feel powerful. There's a scripture that clearly states then that I want to deal with today. It says, save yourself from this untoward generation. Meaning that even us that are considered to be strong and powerful in God will fall by the wayside if we don't understand this scripture. This scripture was given to the disciples after they was filled with the Holy Ghost and was called to go minister people back unto God. Why did he put the scripture, save yourself from this untoward generation? He said simply this, keep yourself safe and sound from this crooked, wicked, perverted people that you are going to attempt to minister to. That let me understand not everybody's going towards God. Not everybody is called to be saved. Not everybody that you're talking to is receiving that which you are saying unto them. Not everybody that we think we are called to witness to, we are called to witness to. So, if this all is true, and what am I supposed to do? Well, let me first back up and tell you, do y'all, or ask y'all, I spoke about this a little bit on Wednesday night. Do y'all know what your job is inside Christ Jesus? After you become saved, what is your job? We can round them up and profile them and put them on two categories. Your number one job is to give him praise and worship. Your second job that you hear called you to do is to win souls unto him or to be a witness for him. That's the two requirements that he has requested from us when we become saved. Now let me deal with the worship part, because a lot of us don't understand the worship part first. The worship part is not the slowing down of the music and the meditation of your heart and the we worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. That's not worship. Worship is when you take your everyday experiences in life and you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Worship is your attitude while you're going through. It's not the sad, crying, nastiness that you present, but when you can just look at somebody and say, God is a good God. And they can't even tell what you're going through. Worship is your performance of how God or what God or who God is unto you. It's the everyday activities that you present in your life unto those that are unsaved and saved, that they can look at you and say, there is a difference in you. Without complaining, without murmuring, without crying. The second one that I dealt with in the first part is praising God. And I don't understand this part, because if it is my job and I'm supposed to give him praise in all that I do, and if a songwriter wrote, say, I love to praise him, I love to praise his name because he's my rock, my soil, my shield, because he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. I know he never, never let me down because he's the, come on, that I have found. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love to. If another songwriter wrote and say, well, I feel like praising him. Well, I feel like praising him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like, why don't we do that which is our number one job to do? Why do I don't feel like, why do I really don't love to praise him? What is the disconnect that's involved with me not doing what he is requiring for me to do as my number one job? Praising him and giving him worship in all that I do. Look at somebody said number two. Is consuming my time, my strength, my energy. That's why I don't feel like praising. Let me let that meditate, because I know that just caught somebody up. You just caught up to that, right? In other words, that person that you are witnessing to is causing you to get in a state where you really don't feel like giving God a praise. When a second job is consuming your time that you can't perform your first job, it's time to get rid of the... Hallelujah! Or did God tell me to work two jobs at the level that I'm working? If I had a part-time job, and I'm late going to my main job, because of the part-time job, because I'm getting too many hours on my part-time job, I need to cut back on my, or I'm going to lose both jobs. The church is done because we do not know how to witness correctly. Hallelujah. But we feeling so guilty and feel obligated to spend so much time with a dying tree that God done already cursed.
Teach like I want to teach up in here, Mike Jones.
To win souls unto him or to be a witness. Let's look at this word witness first, okay? Let's look at it. Witness is a noun in the scripture that says simply, God spoke in Acts through the disciple after the Holy Ghost came upon them and said, ye shall be witnesses unto all. This word witnesses is a noun. It's not a verb. It's not an action word. It's not something that you can do. So God never called you to do what you're doing. It's a noun like boy is a noun. It's a noun like girl is a noun. It's a noun like a father is a noun. It's a noun like a mother is a noun. It's who you are. Not something that we perform or do. You don't tell a real dad to do your dad. That sounds stupid, don't it? Glenn, do your dad. That sounds retarded, don't it? But we are telling folks that supposed to be witness to witness when that's not what God is requiring from us. Let me explain this a little bit simpler. The scripture says, ye are the epistles written in your heart and read of all men. In other words, what he's saying is simply this. Your everyday movement, walks, and being automatically place you in the place of being a witnesser. You don't even have to ever open up your mouth and say that the Lord is a good God. Yes, he is. He's able to do all. All you have to do is walk in it. Y'all missing this. Y'all missing it, but I'm going to catch you in a minute. Our problem is we're not walking in it. We just talking about it. Hallelujah. When it's time for you to go through, you nasty and funky, when you should be smiling and telling me how much God is a good God while you're going through by the actions that you present unto me. So we wasting time with words trying to convince somebody that we are Christians and we really care, instead of letting the natural being of us walk and perform for us. It should not be hard to be a Christian. You should love God enough while you're automatically treating everybody well. Let me help you out here. It shouldn't be hard for you to be holy and righteous. You should love God enough while you ain't cursing people out. It shouldn't be so hard to put a smile on your face. Say a kind word to your neighbor. But it is, because it's not who you are. It's tough. Let me finish this up. So now, because I'm not in God's will, because it's not my job to witness to everyone out there, it's not my job to witness to everyone that comes in contact with me. I know we feel obligated to be there for people who God has not ordained us to help. And because of this,
We are fighting against the will of God for that person. So now, because I'm not in God's will, I'm being drained by someone who I am not ordained to help. I don't really have their answer. So I'm spending tremendous times at night so I won't look like the bad guy, trying to figure out why they're going through what they're going through. If it was ordained by God, it'd be easy. I don't really know what they are going through, and I can't help you with your problems because God has never shown it unto me. That's the statement that I'm supposed to tell you when you come to me. Most likely, the person that's got your answer, you can't stand. You done talked about them, and God done told you to go to them, but because you're not a real Christian and you faking this, you don't want to go to the person that you done talked about because you really don't want them to help you out. Can I teach like I want to teach? I know what I'm teaching because when Tickle Me Elmo, go ahead, boy. He got my back. He said, hey, man, Pastor. So what we doing, Pastor? We need to really simply tell people, excuse me, I have to go and do what God told me and already ordained me to do, and that's praise his name. So while I'm not witnessing, I should be. So why are we so concerned with everyone else and what everyone else is doing? Why are we all up into everyone else's business and doing it in the name of the Lord? Y'all ready? Look at somebody and say, because we are nosy. And we want to be their gods. And we want to manipulate the scriptures to justify what we really want to do. Because it's easy for me to find out information about Sister Melissa by going to talk to Sister Sabrina, then come back to Sister Melissa and look like I'm so holy and righteous than it is for me to actually give God a pure praise and be a real Christian. Can I teach like I want to teach up in here? You really don't have a discerning of spirit. You just got a nosy spirit. And you done been on the phone with a $550 phone bill calling every member up in the church to find out information that you can come back to me and try to portray that you all this, that, and another. But I am putting you on display today. I'm revealing the truth about you today. You ain't all that. If you was all that, you'll be doing your job giving God praise and worship and magnifying his holy name instead of being up inside everybody's business sowing discord. You don't know the God's plan for that person. That's the person that's supposed to go through for a season. You don't know whether they're holy or righteous. You don't know whether they repented or not. Leave me alone and leave them alone and mind your own. Well, let's deal with a couple of scriptures that I dealt with on Wednesday night that really tell me what they're going to use, because I hear somebody say, well, the scripture said, am I my brother's keeper? That's my job. I need to know about Sister Gloria's sins and faults so I can keep her uplifted before the Lord. Because I'm supposed to be, no, you're not, my sister. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You got to read the scriptures the way the scriptures lie and stop pulling out verses in scripture that you don't really don't know what they're talking about. So let's examine the scripture so I can throw that out of your mouth so I never have to hear it anymore from you. It's not my job to keep you. Let that marinate a little bit. You ready? This event occurred after Cain killed Abel, God, who knew what was going on, came down to start a dialogue with Cain concerning his murderous deeds against his brother. And in this, it came simply this. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother Abel? Cain responded back. This was not God who said this. This was Cain trying to be smart back, sarcastic, that we are using as a pinnacle verse to be all up inside everybody else's business and saying it from the Lord. He said, hold up, God. Let me paraphrase a little bit with the attitude that he had. Am I my brother's keeper? Is it my responsibility to take care of him? So I don't want you to hear ever say that again. Well, let's deal with another one then. I got it, Beanie. I heard him.
Well, I don't want the blood to be on my hands. You know, the blood of all unrighteous and righteous is on my hands.
I'm going to give you two scriptures, and we're going to deal with this. The very first scripture that I want to deal with is Ezekiel, when you are right. The blood can be on your hands, but there are requirements that have to take place before you are responsible for the blood that's on your hands. Let me teach like I want to teach up in here. Ezekiel 3:17. I told you, I can't stay away from that word, can I? Watch this. Please read every word as it is. Listen to say, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. So, in other words, Ezekiel became a watchman or someone whose job description was to watch over the souls of the people of the house of Israel. What was his job? To watch over. Was it over the people in Canaan? Was it the people in Egypt? It was only those in the house of Israel. Hold up, because we ain't finished yet. Because this is where we mess up at. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth and give them warning. You're not speaking what you want to speak. When you're a watchman for him, he'll tell you exactly what to say. And the words he says is all you got to say. And I ain't never seen God who takes 20,000 years, 530 hours, and all this time to speak one word that can change a situation. So if you speaking much speaking, if you much witnessing, if you are up way late at night dealing with one person a little bit too much, it ain't from God. All he have to do is just say, Lazarus, come forth. Everything dead, stand still. That which he calls, come out. Y'all missed that. Your situation is not as critical and bad as his situation. And you're going to tell me it takes 575 hours to witness to you? God, I feel it. Y'all feel that anointing up here? Y'all know what that anointing is? That anointing is, yeah, I'm all on your backside right now. I'm beating you up, and I love it. That's right, man. Tell him again. Watch this. When I say unto the wicked, his job was not to say it unto everybody. Now, he done minimized the house of Israel to only the wicked in the...
Oh, my God.
He done narrowed it down, so I still got time to praise him. You get this? We messing up. My job of number two is a part-time job. Only when he required me to come in. Look at somebody say, I'm on call to witness. If I don't get the call, I'm not going to witness. I'm going to do my first job. Hallelujah. Bless him. Hold up. Well, let's finish it. So when I said, thou shalt surely die. Oh, that's not that long, wasn't it? He didn't say how they were going to die. He didn't say when they was going to die. He didn't give them the whole full-off story before they got to the scripture. When I tell you to tell them, you tell them they're surely going to die. Just say they're going to die. You're trying to sugarcoat some things. Tonight when you get home, the same person you called last week, just come back and tell them exactly what God told you. Tell them stop trying to sugarcoat it. Hey, it's just simple like this. If you plan on killing yourself, you're going to hell. Bye. Hey, if you don't want to come to church, don't come to church. Go somewhere else, bye. Hey, if you don't believe God, you don't believe God, bye. Hey, if you want to go to hell, bye. When you get off the phone, they're going to say, wow. God is a judgment God. He don't have time to play games like we've been playing. We sugarcoating it. Rock-a-bye baby in a treetop. With folks when they need to grow up and worrying about whether they got thick skin or thin skin. Thick skin can't get to heaven. Thick skin you gotta toughen them up. It is what it is, baby, whether you like it or not. Is it gonna change your relationship with God? You never had a relationship with God. This is hard. Woo! B, pull it out of my back, B. I got you. And if thou give not him not warning or speak the warning of the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your. If I don't do what God told me to do, it ain't got nothing to do with the individual. It got to do with my disobedience to God. So I can't use that scripture no more because it really don't have nothing to do with the individual. It's got with me not being obedient to God. So let's deal with another one. Let's go to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Is this okay? I'm freeing some of my people up because Pastor Todd is doing all his work by himself. He need to free some of y'all so y'all can do some real work and stop doing this fake work. Y'all wore out, and I understand why you wore out. I'm going to help you today. I'm trying to help y'all leaders today. I'm trying to help y'all ministering people today. I'm trying to help you today that you ain't wore out. You don't need to win everybody in your whole street, your boulevard. That's not your job. Your job is to sit there and be a beacon light that when they're in trouble, they come know who to come to. It's not hard to do your job. Show me the scripture why he told us to go do what everybody's doing now. Go out, dine, and don't know the reason why. Matthew, the 27th chapter, dealing with a story. When Pilate saw that 24. Here it is a story when Barabbas was released and Jesus was condemned. Pilate tried to change their mind and see that he could not prevail, he made a profound statement saying, it's not me that is doing this, nor is it me that wants this, but it has to be done so I can be released. And this is no longer on my hands. And the reason why God did not ordain, neither is he telling me to do anything that's in my natural power to do. What happened here? When Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather the tumult was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. He realized that he was beginning to fight against something that God has ordained to occur. Even though he had the natural power to release,
hallelujah,
it wasn't a godly thing to do. We may have your natural help, and I may can do it naturally for you, but God is not ordaining for me to do it. Now, if I do it naturally, then the end result will be on me. What if he would have took the power that he had, knowing that he was an innocent man, and made him or told him, I do not care what you say, I'm still going to release him? Where will we be right now? So maybe that which God is telling you to leave be, let it go, maybe is where God wants them to be. You are trying to remove them from their cross experience. Some of y'all just need to let them be. Let them go. You want to act that way? Do that. It's between you and God. Because I do not know the end result. I don't know your hidden motives or agendas. And guess what? I really don't need to know. Because I'm not called in to work today. I'm going to rest because I got to go praise him later on. So it's simply this, and I'm through. Do not allow the spirit of nosiness to consume your life to the place where you are not praising God. If you wore down Todd, there's something that you are doing that God has not ordained for you to do. So, Sabrina just say, stay in your lane and mind your own business. I love it when I don't know what's going on sometimes. Isn't it so sweet when somebody comes to you and they have a conversation, you're oblivious to it all? Well, didn't you see how she was acting? Well, I was standing right next to him. I didn't see it. I'm at the place where I'm beginning to understand the hedge that God has placed around us is the obliviousness to things that's going on around us. That Job didn't even know about Satan and all that he was doing. All he was concerned about was what was in his house. He didn't even know about the boils and all this, that, and the other. He didn't even mean. Oh, but when it came down, he was made aware. It's okay. When God take down my hedge and I see it, he's telling me that I can defeat it. Or I can help out through it. So do me a favor. Look at somebody. Go ahead. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Say, do me a favor. Don't call me tonight. Because I'm trying to build a hedge. Don't call me tomorrow. Matter of fact, unless you're going to start the conversation and end a conversation with a praise fest with me, don't call me at all. Because I'm asking God for more hours on my main job. Because I know if I got overtime, hallelujah, on my job as being a praiser, I know that everything's going to be all. Good word, what? Everybody cool? Let me ask my man. We cool now, man? He said, I'm just doing my job, Pastor. Leave me alone. I'm just giving praises. Now, I want y'all to be honest with me. I know sometimes I do preach a little stronger, but I want you to be honest with me. Am I telling the truth to you? Now you see why you all wore out weak and disgusted. Let me just get the show of hands. And this is not bad because I'll be the first one to do it. I'll be the second one. My man already said that. Anybody ever been told something about somebody else that's in the ministry and your whole attitude and demeanor have changed towards that person? Raise your hand. Isn't that bad? Somebody told me Sister Lovey was this nasty person, and I always seen this sweet, beautiful, lovely person that sat on the back row. They told me Sister Lovey and Joe is about ready to have a divorce, but every time I seen them, they was together. They even told me that it was all fake because he wanted to keep his deacon status when all I seen Deacon Joe being humble as a deacon. Now, I came to church instead of looking for God, praising God, I done moved my seat to over there where Sister Nana is so I can take notes. Now, for some strange reason, they did have a little discussion this morning. And they came and sat down, and Lovey came 3 minutes before Joe, and Joe had to start drive another car because the discussion was that Joy had to go to work, and one of them had to take him to work, and Pastor had to preach, and one had to do. Both of them wanted to go to church, so they flipped the coin, and Joe lost. So Joe came in late, but yet now they begin the divorce. Y'all didn't see him coming in dipping cars. Lovey came to the evening service. Joe, he must not even be saved no more. He didn't even come. And I seen it all. Because I sat back there. And then Tommy put my little extra in there. And I overheard them arguing too. Then you wonder why Lovey want to bust you in your chops next week. Because you're messing with hers. You're messing with her family. You're messing with her boo, her man. When that happens, she calling for the Holy Ghost and she can't find him. But y'all see that. Everybody laughed, but y'all don't know how many times something like that done happened. Lord, do you want me to know what's going on? No, okay. That's it. Well, I didn't hear it from him. If you didn't hear from him, still do what? If you're on your job and you ain't heard a different assignment from your job than the first assignment, what are you supposed to do? Keep on doing the first. Hallelujah. I'm done. I'm finished. I can't say no more. Except for this. Listen. Everybody in here which seen yourself in this message as being somebody doing something that God did not ordain for you to do because the result have not came to pass yet. This is very important. Pay attention to me. You need to release yourself from your self-obligation to the person that is draining your life. Hallelujah. Oh, that felt one go that time. I can't help you. You don't need to go to them, because if you go to them, it's going to cause a lot of problems, and you're going to be unholy and righteous, and they're going to talk about you. There's no need to do that. I have learned this a long time ago. Love hides a multitude of sins. In other words, if you call me up, I can simply say this, and I'm not lying. Baby, I'm praying for you. Get off the phone and say, Lord, bless them any way they you feel like they need to be blessed. Hey, I gotta go right now, but we gonna keep you up in prayer. Don't waste all of your days and your time. One prayer. And if God lays them on your heart, pray again. All of this laying on hands every Sunday with the same old that don't want to change. Being drained is too much. All this we praising God and you sitting back soaking up every praise we got and ain't even getting to God is becoming too much. I'm going to do what I can do, and then we're going to be just fine. All that crying, snot, oh my gosh. Let me go get something to eat. When you get finished, let me know. Because you don't want the answer. I'm sorry if this may be tough for some, because there's no altar call today. So if you ain't got it by now, you're not going to get it. Because some things are very simple. The problem does not lie here. The answer is not in this. The answer is not in this. The answer has already been said to you. You just don't want to do what God told you to do. You're going through what you're going through, and there's a reason why. Seek God for yourself. Find out what it is. Work the plan in place. And have the right attitude in it. Anyone that use sickness or suffering as a ploy for attention, they got issues. And that is not going to change. So I'm not going to be drained by you. Because there's some folks out here that I am called to witness to. And I want to just speak the word God said and get some sleep at night. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Now, I want everybody that's okay to stand on your feet. Now, I want you to get your time card out. And I want you to punch the clock and do your job. Hallelujah! That's it.